Morning.
Morning. Hey
Rohit, how are things in San Francisco today?
Excellent. Tip top. What about at your end?
Oh, struggling along. Everything's okay. Struggle brings to mind a very interesting word. There's this story that I wanted to discuss today with amongst us, which is featured in the Hindu, written in by Krishan Das Raja Gopal, April 28th. And this is essentially about a story that calls out that drought is not the culprit for Tamil Nadu farmers. Basically, they didn't die committing suicide. It was due to illness and personal reasons. Now, this is a hugely contentious issue because there have been widespread farmer suicides in Tamil Nadu because of crop failure. And the Tamil Nadu government, it goes on to say this ad, that blamed heart attack, illness, and in certain cases, suicides for the death of its farmers reeling under severe drought. So basically, there's drought, crops are failing, and indebted farmers are committing suicide. And one of the responses that the government has said in a legal response is that it is due to personal reasons. And it goes on to say, a bench led by Justice Deepak Mishra had chided the state for its silence and lack of concerns as farmers died.
Right.
And I guess the state then said, okay, we're going to
Sorry.
show our concern, and says that it always has been sensitive to the plight of farmers. Funds have been made available for compensation. People have been handheld. I guess what struck me in the story was how. When you see something really bad happen to people, why does the state always want to take a line that it is actually not that big a deal? Or alternatively suggests that what's happening is happening through a combination of reasons, and try and belittle the main reason.
Right.
It's really surprising because clearly farmers are committing suicides because if it's very difficult to imagine how vulnerable you are as a farmer because again we are not farmers, we are not experts in farming, but if your crop fails, it's basically if you're going into a job and you've been made redundant on the morning where your daughter has to get married, you have to pay your EMIs for different things. I'm trying to scale it up to what it means in a salary type situation.
Right.
So you've got all of the financial pressures, your crops have failed, and for the government to suggest that it is due to personal reasons, I thought this use of language was very ambivalent. What is personal reason? Are
Right.
people committing suicide because they're generally not cheerful? They don't feel like it that day, so they hung themselves. Because it takes a lot for a person to take his own life, and I just thought that it was really laughable that the government of Tamil Nadu thought that it was personal reasons at play among. They do say that there's suicide and there are other reasons for it. So that's why I wanted to call this out. I thought it was a really oddball story.
Right. And there's a kind of back sorry, excuse me. There's a backstory to this one that, there have been farmer suicides in other states as well, Maharashtra and so on. A particular segment of, I'd say, environmental activists have blamed GM crops, Monsanto, for it, particularly in the case of cotton. There's that element in the mix. The other fact is that this is something that predates the current political environment, I would say.
Right.
Now, to me, what's very interesting is that whichever party is in power in a state where farmers are committing suicide, all of them seem to play this game of not wanting to address the fact that there is a serious crisis on. Whether it's genetically modified crops, and it well may not be, there are others who said that that's kind of a scapegoat. Whether it's a failure of irrigation, whether it's, a poor monsoon, whether it's bad policies, whatever it is, to at least redress human suffering and to address the issue, the first step is to acknowledge that there's a problem. But this complicity that different parties across the board have, whether at the state level or the national level, in denying that, there is a serious crisis, is to me very, very alarming, because it, I think, just speaks of an ostrich in the sand kind of, attitude. The other fact I'll just present here is that, farming is actually a very hard profession. It's a very difficult profession. This also holds true for first world, countries like the US. The only context in which farming appears glamorous really is sort of high-end, ultra-local food culture, at which sustains very, very expensive restaurants in cities like San Francisco and, New York and so on. And I think given the fact that, farming is linked with such uncertainty, that there is a very strong case to be made for the industrialization of agriculture in India, and over a period of time, really moving large sections of the population away to other viable means of living. But again, that would actually require, some very farsighted thinking. It would really require a long-term project which need not which won't translate into short-term political gains. So I guess the easiest thing for governments to do is really to just try and deflect the problem and to, deny that it exists at all.
I think I'd like to throw in another angle here. Deepika Padukone, right? She's a very famous actress. Father used to play badminton. But this is not about badminton or, acting. She came out on media talking about, I think, depression. I don't know, depression or mental health, something like that, right? And that's what I'm, again, this is not in this story. I was thinking that, okay, if as a government you're saying that people have personal issues, all of us have personal issues that we grapple with, and they affect your state of mind, right? I was thinking, is there a charity in India or a group of people? Because we are so obsessed about providing blankets and khichdi that sometimes we forget that the problem is up in the head, right? And I am not sure whether there's a provision to help, not kind of the urban upper end socioeconomic demographics, but more the people who are the marginalized. For because mental health is not just a kind of South Bombay problem. Mental health is a problem that cuts across the nation. And if the good people in the state of Tamil Nadu or the government in Tamil Nadu is speaking up the fact that farmers have personal problems, the question surely has to be, what can you do for the mental health of the farmers? Obviously, given that we've acknowledged that farming is a difficult business, crop failures are making their lives difficult. So even if you take that away, some farmers are actually hanging themselves because they haven't had a happy day. How do you address that? And mental health in general is an area in India that we should talk about sometime.
It's an excellent point, and yes, there are, I believe, some conversations, very good conversations taking place. I find out through Twitter, but excellent point that you raise that, do these services in whatever form they exist, do they exist in the rural context? They well might, and the fact that if they do, and I'm unaware of them, that in a sense would be a sort of reflection of, I think, my own myopic vision, right? And my own, misplaced priorities relatively in talking about this. Because, one of the things that happened after this is the Indian godman, fraud godman, Sri Sri Ravi Shankar, is it? He made a remark that these suicides are taking place because farmers lack spirituality. And to me, that was the most callous, insensitive, and obscene remark that, anyone could make. But, sure enough, I commented on it on Twitter. A lot of other people commented on it. And, while like it was okay to do that, I think the more urgent issue is exactly the issue that you point to, which is, do these kinds of frameworks of support exist in Tamil Nadu? Now, it's very interesting that Tamil Nadu is otherwise a state which has good, social indicators. It's got a good safety net, and give it to Jayalalitha, corrupt as she might have been, she was very good in providing, meals to children. She was very good in providing excellent maternal health services. Tamil Nadu also has a culture where people are very aware of their political rights, and I have a an acquaintance, a friend, who has done an excellent work on development in Tamil Nadu, and he pointed to this fact in a lecture I'd attended, that people in Tamil Nadu, they will not, workers will not, for instance, accept lower than stated wages for government projects, that they will, protest and campaign for water if they are owed that water, or if there is a service that has to be provided. So, if there is a state which should have support like this, it probably should be Tamil Nadu, Tamil Nadu and Kerala. And the fact that either it doesn't exist or one is unaware of it, also says something about our priorities and about the way in which we approach stories, right? That this angle is something that you know, even a fine newspaper like the Hindu could have picked up on, but it didn't. So I think that it's very revealing that even when we do talk about these issues, what are the things we leave out, like, you know, issues of mental illness in rural contexts?
Yeah, I just think I'll just throw in a bit of facts that I've pulled up from the internet, Wikipedia. So when I say internet, that's the bit I'm referring to. In between 87 and 2007, suicide rates grew in India from 7.9 to 10.3 per 100,000 people. So the three more people almost were committing suicide per 100,000 between 87 and 2000. And here's the interesting thing, Rohit. In 2012, when they did that measure, Tamil Nadu contributed to 12.5%, Maharashtra 11.9%, and West Bengal 11%. So those are kind of the highest proportion of suicide. Tamil Nadu, Maharashtra, West Bengal. We've talked about Tamil Nadu. We've talked about Maharashtra. Puzzled about West Bengal. I didn't see that coming. Why people would 11%, you know, as a proportion. It's a really interesting say. And if I draw up the map, the happiest, like the when I say happy, this is again loaded, like places with like really low suicide rates is actually Bihar and Jharkhand, Jammu Kashmir, Punjab. So I guess in places where, I don't know, this is a really odd bit of statistics. It's, if you do suicides in India,
right,
there's a map that comes up in dated 2014. But it's sometimes, look, this could be an interesting topic to talk about later on. Mental health and people killing themselves and how that works out in different parts of the country. And we want to do this sensitively because, you know, this is a really difficult, tricky issue, and our
right.
hearts go out to people who've lost family members through this kind of an episode. We want to reflect in our tone and tenor that this is a serious discussion, both in terms of suicides and the fact that, you know, mental health provisions in India are inadequate once you go beyond a certain urban bubble.
Right. Yeah. You know, we are a little over time, but if I may just make two observations. One is, I think that this is in a slight, you know, being a little tangential, but it, excuse me, I'm sorry. It says something about the politics of knowledge, right? These are the kinds of studies that we should be doing. These are the kinds of studies that should be conducted. But in a sense, you know, even in very reputed institutions in India, in sociology departments or and so on, I think there's some topics, like the whole topic of communal violence, right? And intercommunal relations, while it's critical and needs to be studied, it just kind of occupies the intellectual academic space to I think a disproportionately large extent. There's so many of these other important, urgent, you know, issues that we need social scientific research on. And yes, absolutely, that, you know, that one's heart goes out. There's other kinds of epidemics in India about, you know, with regard to suicide. If suicide is broadly a problem, then there are specific, you know, kinds of suicide also that tend to be problems that deserve attention on their own. So farmer suicides is one, but also students in high school committing suicide because of, you know, the worry of not doing well in exams and so on. So I think those are things on which we need much broader conversations. But I think the conversation like the second one will cause the Indian middle classes or the Indian, you know, elites to really take a hard look at themselves and maybe find things about themselves that they don't like and are unpleasant. And I think they don't want to do that.
Correct, correct. You're so right. Chalo, we are slightly over time, so let's wrap this up. We'll pick this issue up. Our listeners should keep writing to us at indiaexplainedpodcast@gmail.com. We've received quite a lot of good feedback. Thank you. Keep it coming, and we'll keep improving the show.
Yeah, thanks. And, you know, just hang in there with the technical stuff. We are both novices. We are juggling 25, 30 different things. So if the technical side of things isn't, you know, of the quality of someone who or an organization that has or a kind of initiative that has like a full professional setup, you know, just bear with us. All right. Take care. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.